Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along again.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at a milestone for Jim McAnally as he celebrates 9 years in management at Blue Toon. We'll be looking ahead at the Betfred Cup games against Dundee United and Brechin, and we'll be also looking back at a busy day at Balmoor as three, potentially four, names have come in during the transfer deadline. But we're going to start with which seems to be the usual kind of subject, and that is the fans in or fans out. Martin, if you recall last week, we kind of were looking for Neil Doncaster to be a bit more proactive over the weekend. He seemed to be that. I think he was on BBC Radio Scotland's Sports Sound saying that the decision not to let fans in is a political one. What do you make of him finally throwing his getting his name in there and getting involved?
Yeah, well, it's about time that he did stick up for the clubs, especially lower down the leagues. You know, the revenue that they're missing out on, they need the money to survive. So it's about time that he sort of stuck up for it. I think it is slightly political. You know, we can go to the cinemas and everything, but which is indoors. I think there was a club last week. You could be inside the social club watching the game on a live stream, but you can actually be outside watching the game, which was happening live. You know, they were only a matter of feet away from being outside. So it's disappointing that at the moment the fans still aren't allowed in. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, especially in Scotland. Unless Neil Doncaster or Ian Maxwell voice a very strong opinion. And I think there's a lot of backing for it to get supporters in. I think everybody can see that the need for it. As long as it's done safely, I'm sure it'd be welcomed by everyone. But at the moment, I can't see that happening.
The argument is that for like Celtic and Rangers, who are still in Europe, they're going to be playing against teams who, and UEFA have now said that they're allowing fans back into the stadiums for these games, providing it's within local government restrictions or government restrictions. So potentially you're going to have Celtic and Rangers playing these European ties and having a disadvantage of playing against fans, whereas if they come to, say, Ibrox or Parkhead, there's going to be no fans there. So there's a bit of unfair advantage, if you like, with the way that the current standings are.
Yeah, it's disappointing, but I don't think that they're going to change their mind anytime soon. That's the worrying thing. In relation to lower league clubs, that is, I think it's the only way they're going to survive. I don't think clubs, they'll find it feasible to be able to play football and not have crowds there. So them not having a crowd will be a disadvantage to them. You know, most players in the lower leagues will be used to playing in front of a couple hundred supporters. You might even get the, you know, 400, 500, 600, whatever it's going to be. So that's a disadvantage to them. The sooner fans are back in, the better. Like I said, I can't see it any time soon.
And Jason Leach kind of replied to Neil Doncaster, if you like, and said it was not a political decision. He said you can't open everything, which is a fair point, I guess. But if you sort of look at the things that are open, as you said, there's a new cinema just opened up in Peterhead here. We can go to that, but we kind of go watch our team play. It's that kind of sort of rules that nobody can kind of quite comprehend as to why you can go to see something inside, but I kind of go and visit my mum and dad. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of understand what Jason Leach is saying. It's a complex situation. It's one that no one's ever been in before. But again, I can't see why you can be inside a metre apart watching a film that you are there for up to potentially 2 hours with, but you can't be outside in the fresh air watching your team, again, for argument's sake, the same length of time, 2 hours. You're outside watching the game. You can't be socially distanced. You can't, yeah, you can do it to an extent in cinemas, but that ventilation within the cinema is a lot less than what it would be when you're outside.
Yeah.
And so I think, I know that there was I think it was Jason Leach as well. He said that football got special treatment to allow football to restart way back in July. They were allowed to, you know, have players back training, contact within small groups. It was done a lot quicker than what they would have liked. But it now seems that potentially football's now being treated differently because they got that special treatment before.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit in a pub, you can go to the cinema, supermarkets now as well. It seems to be a little bit of a free-for-all in some places. But again, from our point of view, we kind of go back and watch our team play, which is socially distanced, outside. It doesn't make sense, in my opinion.
Just to throw another one in there, but the Royal Albert Hall apparently is now running at 57% capacity, socially distant and things like that. So it's beggar's belief as to how we're going to get there.
I think in Germany as well, they were back to, was it 11,000 at a Dortmund game over the weekend or in the last week? So they are slowly getting people back. There was a celebration, you know, fans didn't have any masks on, they're outside, which is fine. That's what their government has decided. But it just seems really weird that we can't go to a game, even, for argument's sake, with a mask on outside, mm-hmm. social distance. It does seem a little bit political.
It's more political than it needs to be, I think. And hopefully, as we said, Doncaster seems to have gotten from his backbone now, and Dean's something about it, Maxwell as well, and even Douglas Ross has decided to put his penny's worth in as well. Whether or not that is political or not is up for debate. But we'll see in the coming days and weeks what progresses with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they're now voicing an opinion. Potentially a couple of weeks or months too late, but they're finally voicing their opinion. Hopefully it will be heard, and you never know, we might get back to football at some point this year.
Yeah, I hope so. Right, so let's get on to what is a milestone for our manager. This week he will celebrate 9 years in management. That is the longest a current manager is in position in Scotland. He is only bested by one other person in Britain, and that's Simon Weaver at Harrogate Town, who's been there for 11 years. But it's still a record that is, it seems nowadays in modern day football, quite unrealistic, but it's a great achievement for him.
Absolutely. I think there was somewhere I read, maybe end of last year, that the average manager lifetime span at a club's about 16 months. So it's potentially two transfer windows to try and change your whole potentially philosophy of the team, or you know, change the players to get your style of players in for your tactics. So the fact that we've got Jim, he's been there, as you said, coming up 9 years, fantastic milestone, great servant to the club, and you can tell that he really enjoys it as well. You know, okay, there is some post-match interviews if you've been beaten that you maybe didn't really fancy it at that point, but 9 times out of 10, anytime you've spoken to Jim, he is very passionate about the club, and he really does seem to like it. And I think the fans as well, they recognise the job that he's done for the club.
And I think I read in an interview recently as well that he would turn down any chance of going back to full-time football as well, just because it's a different monster, if you like. So if you've got somebody who's happy in the role that he's at, he's obviously got a great relationship with the chairman and the board as well. And that's kind of, you go back to when we failed to get promotion in 17-18, and he sort of tendered his resignation and they said, no, stick with it. Lo and behold, obviously the following year we went up as champions. So, I mean, that's he didn't get relationships like that in football these days.
No, it's normally, you see, it can be quite frosty between football managers and their owners and chairmen. So it's good to see that Jim, not only with players, but staff as well, you know, all around the club. We spoke to quite a lot of the players over the summer, and they all comment about the professionalism of Jim as well, and how he makes you feel welcome from day one and right through. He's there for every player, whether it be personal issue or something on the pitch that they want to speak to him about. He seems very open, very honest with the guys as well. I think that's sometimes, you know, underrated as well. Players feel that they can approach him. So yeah, hopefully we've got Jim for a long, long time to come as well.
And his man management is second to none as well. I mean, he's very good at addressing individual issues. I guess the best example of that is when he first joined the club in 2011, when obviously a lot of players had suffered the relegation. The John Sheeran sort of appointment didn't work out properly, but Graham Sharp had he'd been struggling for fitness, he'd been struggling for confidence. First thing that Jim did was send him to a sports nutritionist, and that's probably added 5 years into his career. Yes, okay, he ended up leaving to go to Greece at age of 30, but he's probably added his years into his career, changed his position, and then all of a sudden he's become a much more happier and a better player for it.
Yeah, well, we've seen that over the 9 years of Jim being there. A player that's maybe lost their way slightly in the game, they've dropped down maybe a division or two, they've come to Peterhead, they've seemed to re-engage their career a wee bit. You know, they've gotten that spark, whether it can, you know, that comes with good performances and the belief that you've got from your manager that has it in you. I think that's really crucial as well. I think it's quite easy sometimes for a football manager to have sort of like a blanket over things in terms of if a player has this particular issue, that's how you deal with it. But I think Jim, as you said, his man management skills, he takes each player as an individual and he tries the best approach for it rather than just thinking, well, that's what I did last time with person A, I'll try it again. Yeah. He looks at the individual needs of the player as well. And I think that is probably why we've attracted maybe some better quality players than we have done in recent years. The fact that they understand what Jim's about. You know, in the game, everybody talks, so that information about Jim will get ruined, and certain players are likely to join because of the manager that we've got.
And the likelihood as well that they know there's a bit of stability within the management as well, so that they know that they're not going to be signing for a manager, and then 6 months later they've got a new one, and then he's going to get them kicked out within the club as well. But Ryan Dow's another example of somebody dropping down for a season or a season and a half, and now, you know, he got his move to Dunfermline and doing really well there. So it does show you that he can, you know, increase your career by doing these different things and get you playing to a point where you can get a bigger move as well. And that's the kind of thing as well that he's quite open about as well. It was obviously the Scott Brown thing in the summertime there where he almost left and he didn't leave and he was staying and he was saying, but Jim would always say to his players, if a full-time team comes in, I'm going to stand in your way. And that's another key thing, having an open and honest relationship.
I think that gives the players the confidence. They know that if they play well, that the club and Jim won't stand in their way. I think he's been open about that ever since we've known him, really. Mm-hmm. He's openly said that. So a player that would maybe potentially look at a part-time team or the lower league championship, they might be willing to come to Peterhead because they know if they play well, they get that confidence again that Jim would not encourage them to go, but he certainly wouldn't hold them back if they wanted to open negotiations with another club.
Yeah, and you see that as well with what he does with his coaches as well. We've seen in recent years with David McCracken. He obviously wasn't going to stand in his way for moving on to management. He's now got Simon Ferry as one of his coaches as well. And by all accounts, he's another one that looks as though he's going to do particularly well as a coach. So he's not only just sort of... but he's teaching these kind of guys and learning these guys for the future. He's not just kind of saying, well, no, how are you going to help me? He's actually helping them for their career after football or after playing as well.
It's a win-win situation where if the coaches are coaching the players to be better, and the players are playing well and get their move, but it's also helping the club. Because if the players are playing well, the team's playing well, getting the right results, the club will progress. So it seems a very nice situation where everybody's helping everyone, which, believe it or not, it doesn't happen often with a team that there can be certain divides, but it seems a very good setup at Peterhead at the moment.
And you cannot argue his record either. He's got two championships within that time as well. Yes, there was one relegation. Where do you think you can sort of take us? Because I guess we're at that point where we've been third tier for a number of years. It's just getting that next step, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very difficult though. I don't think there is much of a gap between League 2 and League 1, but when you get the Championship teams dropping into League 1, you can certainly see a difference. You know, we thought the opening game of the season home to Falkirk, I think it was it Falkirk?
Yeah, last year.
We played really well and we looked good, but then you can also go away to them and they are, you notice the class difference. Mm-hmm. I think he's the right man. I certainly do. I don't think that you'd get much better in that terms, but I generally do think he's the right man to take Peterhead forward. It just is a very competitive and difficult league, and it probably is going to be that for a number of years.
Is he at the point now where he's maybe unsackable is maybe not the right phrase, but it would be very difficult for the chairman and the board to sack him.
Yeah, potentially, but I think, firstly, I think he has bought that little bit of time where if he is having a bad patch, that he has earned that respect of. It's not a case of you haven't won an eight or you've lost six of your last ten. You know, you're on the brink. He's earned that time to try and sort things out. Secondly, I think if the club were doing poorly, we've seen before he offered his resignation. I think he'd probably do it again if the club was doing bad. Mm-hmm. He's been at PIF for 9 years now. He knows everything about the club. He knows it inside out. He knows the people. And I think that would help him come to a decision if he did feel, not almost like a mutual termination of, I don't want to get sacked, but I realise that this isn't going in the right direction and there could be a parting of ways. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, thankfully.
I think it would take a horrendous run of results for it to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even after the relegation in 2017, they didn't sack him, they stuck with him. So I think if he was to get relegated again and then got off to a really, really bad start again, you might kind of think, well, is this his time up? But again, it's all kind of speculation. But, you know, he's here for the long run by the looks of it, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's the right man to take Peterhead forward. I'm delighted that he's been here 9 years. We've won the promotion twice. Granted, there was the blemish of the relegation. He offered his resignation. And he's a genuine guy as well. You know, sometimes football managers like read off a script and there's no personality to them. But that is certainly the case with Jim. Very approachable, very nice guy. And hopefully he's here for a number of years to come.
Yep. So congratulations to Jim. 9 years, so hopefully this time next year we'll be talking about it being 10 years, and there'll be some kind of big celebration for that. Hopefully by that time we might actually be at the grounds to see the game.
Yeah, fingers crossed we might get to actually see them in person. Yeah.
Alright, well that's it. So Jim, obviously been busy the last 9 years. It was a busy day yesterday, as it turned out at Balmoor. Three in the door. We're still waiting for a fourth one. We were reliably informed there was going to be a fourth one coming in. But let's look at the signings then as a whole. Josh Mulligan came in on loan from Dundee, a midfielder. It's probably a position that we probably needed filling in again, because we're quite short, but Mulligan looks a decent player, and again, like Freeman, he's well liked at his club.
Yeah, one of the things that I do when a club signs a player. You sort of go on the forums of the team he's come from and their social media, and you see the reaction of the supporters about the player going. And there was a lot of praise. He just signed a contract at Dundee. They see a bright future for him as well.
3-year contract, that tells you a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the climate just now, to get a 3-year deal is really good. They've got high hopes, really, really high hopes. A lot of people have been speaking about him on forums. And they see Pierre Heid as an ideal opportunity to go and learn and develop. You know, that we've mentioned before that the experienced guys we've got, the coaching team, do a really good job. So I think he is a player. He maybe won't naturally be starting week in, week out. He's got Brown, Fraser, Ferry in front of him, so they'll be difficult guys to dislodge from the team in that midfield, but certainly a player that I think will certainly bring something to us.
He could potentially play on the right, so that might give us the width that we're kind of looking for.
It was certainly an area of concern.
Yeah,
last season
we didn't have a lot of natural width, so might be that. He was on loan at Cove last season, did well there. only got the 8 games, but obviously because the season was curtailed early. So yeah, well, it's an exciting kind of addition to the squad.
Yeah, and it's slightly different to what we've had in the past. It's normally experienced sort of guys coming in, which is obviously needed. But it's nice to see a young start, and especially Dundee, they've got that confidence in Peterhead that will go and allow him to develop his game. It's not just a season where he's going to be sitting on the bench and not his career stagnating. So it's positive from Dundee as well.
Yeah, and he's played 3 times from Dundee already. Not only did he get the 3-year contract, but he got a squad number of 15, which again tells you all you need to know is how highly rated he is at Dundee. And Gordon Strachan, who's the director of football there, it speaks on a regular basis with Jim. And I think Gordon speaks quite highly of him as well. So, again, it tells you all you need to know just how highly regarded he is.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that he'll come here and he'll be willing to learn. I think that's probably part of the reason that he has moved out on loan. I don't think he's going to get in the Dundee's first team at the moment. So the chance to come and play regular football will hopefully benefit him, and in turn it will benefit the club as well.
Then second in the door was Josh Ray, or Joshua Ray. We'll have to find out if he prefers Josh or Joshua, but we'll find out that. Goalkeeper, a young goalkeeper. Again, had games at Cowdenbeath last season until the season was curtailed. But he's had an interesting youth career. He's been at Celtic, he's been at Leeds, he's had trials at Liverpool, never in Atletico Madrid, but is now at Peterhead, so it's quite a journey he's had.
Yeah, he's only going up in the world, is he? You know, Liverpool, Atletico Madrid, Peterhead, it's the natural progression. I think this could be a really good signing because he's a young goalkeeper. He's going to push Lenny Wilson, and obviously Josh or Joshua, I'll call him Josh for the benefit of this. he played 15 games last season, whereas Lenny didn't. So it'll be interesting to see who starts the number one. I'd imagine it's going to be Lenny Wilson. I think he deserves that opportunity. He stuck out last season. Quite easy for him to turn around this season. So I didn't play much last season. I didn't play any games last season. That he was going to look for somewhere else. He hasn't. He's stuck around. Obviously, their scouts and teams must see something in Josh at the light, because as you mentioned, the teams there that he's been on trial with. So I get it's one of them. If he plays well, he gets his move, but if he's played well, then the clubs will, you would like to think, got good results.
And going by Jim's quotes after he'd signed, he certainly has been brought in to compete for that number one jersey. He's not here just to kind of make up the numbers, which I guess in a way is a good thing, because at least it keeps both of them on their toes. You know, if you're not having a great game, I'll bring in the other guy in and see what happens. Because I guess it would have been easy just to bring in a 30-plus goalkeeper and just to say, like, you're going to be sitting on the bench and Lenny's going to be number one, or vice versa.
Yeah, I think it was important that we did get another goalkeeper in that was going to be competing, and not just an experienced professional sitting on the bench. It is a position last season that sometimes we raise concerns over, that we were weak at the back and mistakes, but the goalkeeper at times we were critical of. So I think having two goalkeepers who are going to compete with each other is only going to make them better, because they know if they haven't got... Okay, you can have one bad game. Say you've gone into 3 or 4 bad games, having errors, you know that looking at the bench, there's somebody ready to take your place. And it's very difficult to, as a goalkeeper, try and get back in. You know, normally it's through maybe injuries or suspensions that you would get back into the squad. So if other guys not having a great... if other guys having a poor game, that could sometimes be your way in. So hopefully, with two good goalkeepers in, they will be very competitive and help, you know, compete against each other, raise their game.
I'm going to come back to one of the points that you just kind of touched upon there just shortly, but we'll move on to the third one. I'm going to pronounce this as Darren, and I'm sure that's how it's pronounced, Darren Kesson. He's probably the one who will be slightly more unknown. He's coming from the junior ranks, so this will be a step up for him. But again, by what we've heard in the talk run about, that he could easily make this step up.
Yeah, very little information on him, but we know he's been on trial through the whole pre-season, and Jim took him in quite early on, I think it was, when teams were the training sessions were back. We wanted to get a look at him. So he's been there now a little while now. He's played a game or two, so I think he will be a good addition, going by what we've heard. And again, it proves that it shows there's competition for places now. I think last season that maybe always wasn't there. I think there was times that players were in, potentially had on a poor bit of form, but you didn't really think anybody on the bench would take their place. I think now that's different. I think you could easily make 3, 4, potentially 5 changes for a game if you've had a poor game before, and the squad wouldn't be weakened.
Yeah, I, from what I've been told, Kesson's more of a sort of box-to-box midfielder. However, again, reading into what Jim said after he signed, in that he can take people on, there's a potential that he's going to be playing maybe again on in the wide areas. Again, that, as we said when we spoke about Mulligan, that it's kind of an area we needed somebody to direct and take on people. And he's come from a background, as I said, the juniors, but he's also got 3 caps for Scotland at the futsal, which is, if you ever watch that, it's very skillful, very quick. Style of football. So he's obviously got the skills to do something.
Yeah, you mentioned just that a moment ago there, the being direct. It's something that we were critical of before last season, where the wide guys would have the ball rather taken on the defender. I think Aidan Smith, he was really good at it, but that end product wasn't there. So hopefully these guys have got the pace, the directness as well, to help. And if we've got that, I think that gives us something different in the wide areas, where last season we were very predictable that would cut inside and again the game became congested. So if we've got that directness and pace in the wings, certainly bring out a different avenue to us.
So that's us. We keep making these, it's like a counter, there's another player adding on, another player on. So we're up to a squad of 16 now. And it was to take up your point when you were speaking about last season's squad. If you look at the squad we had this time last season, not including the ones that signed in January, there was 7 30-plus players, age 30-plus, I should say, with an average age of about 29, just under 29.
Yeah.
With the squad that we've got now, there are only 4 who are at 30-plus. And the average age is down to just under 26. So that's a big difference, and it's a big move away from how Jim would normally build his teams and his squads. But what you were interested in what you were saying earlier on about making the changes, the likes of Fleming and Boyle and Stevenson and guys like that. I think he was quite. Loyal to them, because they were the ones who stuck by him after the relegation. They stuck by him and got the promotion. So maybe he kind of felt that he needed to kind of stick with them and show them the loyalty back again. Whereas now that they've all left for various reasons, it's almost like he's able to bring in the players that may potentially once, because he always talks about these players being ones he's had in his radar for a while. For whatever reason, he hasn't brought them in. But it just seems to be that he's moving away slightly from what he would be doing normally, and he's bringing in younger players.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think last season he was maybe loyal to the players. And I can understand that, the players have been loyal to him, so he's loyal to them. I get that, I understand that. I think now, with them players leaving, it was a perfect opportunity for Jim, whether he wants to change his tactics. We've spoken about that previously as well, whether he has a change, but he's got the players that he feels will benefit the club, as well as the potential change of formation and tactics that he's going for. It is younger players that's coming in, which is good to see. We do still have the experience, we've not just completely gone away from that, but I think these younger players, not to say the other guys weren't hungry, but I think you can maybe become a little bit stale. You're stuck in a routine. You know what to expect every time you're coming up to the game. You know the whole rigmarole. These new guys coming in, they're hungry. I think the career paths that some of the players that have had coming in as well, some of them have got a point to prove as well. Mulligan from Dundee, he's just signed a new contract, high hopes. He wants to go and kick on. Joshua Ray coming in, he wants to Twine knuckled in a first team place. They did it with Cowden Beath, got 15 games before the season was curtailed. So again, they're coming in with something to prove, to not only to themselves, but to the club that's taking them on as well. Because it's so easy just now, I think clubs maybe would run a lot tighter a squad than what maybe would have in the past. You know, if there's going to be no fans coming in, no money, you're still going to have outlays as well. So clubs might have a smaller squad. I think this season was a perfect opportunity for Jim to get younger guys on board, again, kick on with the team that he's wanted to go with.
Yeah, and with a squad at 18, I mean, the squad last season, was comparing from last season, had 19. So, you know, potentially we're maybe one or two still short. I mean, there's no point in wanting to have make five subs in a game when you've only got six on the bench. You know,
yeah.
So that's the other thing, and one of them was a goalkeeper.
I think this season, when you write down where our squad and we predict what our starting 11 would be, there's an argument to say that 3, 4, 5 players who are on the bench are worthy of a start. So the competitiveness as well in the squad now, I think, is higher than what it maybe would have been last season.
Yeah.
A couple of injuries last season, and we looked light in quite a few departments. This season, I think it's players that they can do one role, but they can certainly cover another role as well. They're not very one-dimensional,
yeah,
which I think is probably the route that Jim would have been wanting, younger players, but who can cover a number of different positions.
It seems to be a change of philosophy. And that's not just in terms of the signings, but it's maybe, as you said, the tactics as well. The fact that we've now got more midfielders than we have defenders would suggest that that's maybe the way he's going. And it does certainly look as though he's going to change the tactics slightly. And these ball-playing defenders as well, if you like Bailey coming in, Freeman coming in, it's a different dimension altogether. And if we were speaking about this a couple of weeks ago, I probably said I was a bit pessimistic, but now that these guys are in, I'm a hell of a lot more kind of optimistic and excited by these signings and actually looking forward to seeing what they can actually do.
Yeah, I think we'd commented at one point that we actually thought we might be in Jim's plans for signing. The squad was quite threadbare.
That's maybe why he's gone out and signed all these players, just in case.
the threat was there from us and we might be playing in Jim's thought, no, I can't have that, I'll sign 3 on deadline day. The squad looks, as you said, a lot better. I was always confident that the club had something in mind to get players in, but there's so many things happening that within the last week of the transfer window. You see the Premiership clubs, they've sort of assessed their squads and they're allowing players to go out on loan. There's quite a few within the last couple of days from Premiership clubs, you know, leaving their respective clubs and joining their teams. But it's a competitive squad we've got now, and one that I'm really looking forward to seeing how we get on in the Betfred Cup.
Yeah, and the loan market is open until the end of this month, I think. So, you know, there's still scope to bring in more if we need it. But it looks as though it's a decent piece of business in the window. So we'll look forward to it and just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. I really can't wait. It's been a long, long time since we've had competitive football. It'll be completely different watching it than what we're used to. But again, it'll just be good to see our team play again.
And I should say that average age has probably been raised slightly by the fact that we've got Derek Lyle still in the squad. Because if you take him out, he probably drops down a couple of years. He's going to be 40. He's going to be 40 by the end of the season. So he's doing well to keep himself fit and going. Anyway, we'll look forward to actual football now. We could talk about getting Peterhead's games now. Competitive football. Tentatively, I should say, we edge closer to a competitive game on Saturday. Betfred Cup away to Dundee United. Now, this is the ideal game, I guess, that we would have all loved to been able to go to. But it's just not going to happen, unfortunately.
No, can you imagine the travelling support down at Tannadice for the opening game of the season, Betfred Cup? Nay, everybody's cup of tea, the Betfred Cup, but I'm sure a Dundee United versus Peterhead game would have been excellent for both sets of fans. It really is disappointing that there's going to be no spectators there to witness it.
Yeah. Dundee United have kind of gone after a shaky start. They've played 10 so far. They've only won 3 and they've lost 5. 2 of those were heavy 4-0 defeats as well. So, you know, okay, they are a Premiership team. They are 2 leagues above us, but, you know, Mickey Mellon's maybe not got his philosophy sort of sorted out yet and getting them firing on all cylinders yet. So it might be the ideal opportunity to play them.
Yeah, I think their first couple of games they did okay. I think they had Lauren Shankland playing. He got injured. I think there was an injury to one of their midfielders as well, and that sort of curtailed their good form to start with. Away to Dundee United, I think it's going to be a case of one of them games, treat it like get through the first 15 minutes. Normally you say get the crowd on their back, that's not going to happen, but the longer the game goes at 0-0, you frustrate Dundee United, because all the pressure will be on them. They've been playing competitive games. They're a Premiership side. They're against a part-time League One club. They'll be expected to win. I'm sure Mickey Mellon would love for them to get a couple of early goals and just relax into the game. So the longer the game goes at 0-0, you've always got a chance. It's the script, isn't it? You've always got a chance as long as you're in the game. But it is true, and it's something that hopefully we can implement on Saturday.
And the last time, the one and only time that we've been there was in the Challenge Cup, League Challenge Cup, when Dundee United were still in the Championship. It was 3-2, and if you recall, it was a late extra time winner that Dundee United got in the 116th minute. So there is, if you can take positives from that and just say, well, you know, we've been there before. Yes, it was about 5 years ago. Big changes in both teams, obviously, but you know, it can go there and just express yourself and just relax.
Yeah, I think the positive that we've got from it is we're a completely new squad. A lot of new players coming in, but the pressure is on Dundee United. Maybe slightly different if it was a home game and it was at Balmoor with a crowd. There's maybe that little bit more expectation on the home side. Mm-hmm. But away to Dundee United, I think all the pressure's on them. They'll be expected to win the game. Like I said, they've been playing competitive football now since, August, end of July, whatever it was. So they're into a routine now, match fitness as well. All that plays a part. So they're massive favourites in my opinion, but I certainly think it's something we could go do to Tannadice with and get the confidence that we can get a result out of the game. We showed that last season. We had Inverness at Balmoor, played really, really well. So against better quality teams, we certainly hold our own.
Oh yeah, and it's one of the, because of the way that the Betfred works, you get yourself a draw after 90 minutes, you go into penalties, and it's a lottery then, so you could actually get away with getting 2 points. I mean, a point would be a decent result. Getting 2 points would be even better. I think 3 points would be just unbelievable.
It would be ambitious for our first game, but certainly, by no means, it's not a task that you look at and go, oh, it'd be really difficult for Peterhead to get anything from the game. I generally think we can go down there and get some. If we can frustrate them, because like I said, they'll be expected to win the game. Not sure whether that would be the arrogance of their players, but I think just generally within their bubble, so to speak, they'd be expected to win the game. Whether they'll say that publicly, they're favourites, or they want to go out, I don't know, but I think we can go down there and get something, whether it be a draw and then nick it in with 2 points, I don't know, but I certainly think we'll get something.
And then next week, next Tuesday, we've got our first game at home for what seems like forever against Brechin City. Slightly different game, I think, this one, because Dundee United obviously on a high after promotion. Brechin back-to-back relegations, and we said before, probably should have been a third one. It's going to be slightly different, and as I said, it's going to be at home as well. So on a Tuesday night, which nobody really wants to play on a Tuesday night at Balmoor, which can be to our advantage.
Yeah, seeing if they can do it on a rainy night at Balmoor on a Tuesday. That is probably one that you earmark for 3 points. A home game against Brechin, who I can't imagine they've got more than a handful of wins in the last couple of years. I don't know their situation, whether they've had a lot of outgoings and incomings over the last couple of months. But from our point of view, players coming in, looking to gel first home game, it would be something that you're really looking for 3 points in.
Yeah, and the head-to-head is not great. We've won 12, drawn 12, and lost 22. But it's been 2 years since we played them in a competitive game, and that was again League Challenge Cup 1-2-1 there as well. Late goals again from McLean and Leach. But interestingly, the season where we played them four times in the league, the 16-17, Brechin won three times. Obviously, times have changed slightly, but they've got the advantage for the head-to-head. But as I said, in recent years, I think we've got the slight advantage.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it'll count for much going into the game in a week's time. I think it's whether the Brechin's form of playing, we've said back-to-back relegations, probably should have been another one. The atmosphere, the club bit, they must be going into games maybe not trying to, I shouldn't say not trying to win it, but their first protocol will be trying not to concede. You know, their mindset will be maybe negative in terms of concede early. You know, we might lose quite a few. So if we can start the game on the front foot and really well at high tempo, granted it'll only be the second game, and then we've gone from no football in 6 months to playing two competitive games in 3 days.
Yeah.
But it's certainly one that if we can start the game well, you would like to think that we can maybe get two or three.
Yeah, and the fact that the competitive games start for certainly for the Championship, League One, League Two teams start this week, it's finally happened. It's finally here. We're getting the competitive football. Now is the time just to, for everybody just to be kind of be sensible, and we're getting almost to the point where we want to be, which is getting the competitive football back and getting fans back into the stadium again.
Yeah, it could go one or two ways. We could, the football can start up again for the lower league teams and it goes slightly pear-shaped, and then they decide that lower league football is going to happen, which nobody wants. We've had no football competitively since March, and it's been tough for the vast majority of our clubs. So I would rather that the football started now and we got back in, argument's sake, say December, January, than everybody trying to rush back now and it getting mothballed to the end of next season, which no club wants, and probably a lot of clubs couldn't survive.
Yeah, and we got that feeling yesterday when we had the transfer window and Peterhead was making all those signings. It was a feeling we hadn't had for a while. So you want to grab onto that again and just keep it and run with it. And you know, as I said, just make sure that we're not in a situation again come February, March next season that they decide, oh, well, you know what, it's too much of a hassle. Let's mothball the season again.
Yeah, but with that, a stark reminder, we think the Dundee game's off because Forfar's had a positive case, the Kilmarnock team, they're in self-isolation as well. So it is in amongst the football community, and it is something that we need to be very mindful of when and if we do get back in the near future.
But on a footballing point of view, footballing stand.
It's catching, isn't it?
I'm going to get a test now. For a footballing stand, then we're much more positive by what we've seen coming in and looking forward to the start and looking forward to competitive football.
Yeah, last night with the transfer window, and you know, Pierre were regularly tweeting something out, it reminded me of the morning of the FIFA fixtures being released. You had that excitement that you were, something was happening with your club, and I think a lot of clubs would be the same. A lot of people would. So we're all speaking about hopefully getting back to FIFA. As long as it's done safely, I think it can be. You know, we've mentioned before at the start of the recording about being in cinemas and whatnot. We won't go over that again. But I think it can be done outside, can be done safely, and hopefully we can get back sooner rather.
So that's it for this week then. My thanks go to Martin for joining me as always. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening as always. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again then.